Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to Behind the Headlines with me, David Marley. Today, I'm very pleased to be joined by our health correspondent, Sean Linton, who is going to talk to us about an incredible series of stories that he's broken this week. Derek McMinn is a world-renowned surgeon who pioneered a new way of conducting hip surgery. His technique was most famously used by doctors to resurrect Andy Murray's tennis career. But according to an internal report from the private hospital where McMinn worked, seen by The Independent, he collected and stored body parts from thousands of patients that he personally operated on over a period of 25 years. He did this, according to the investigation by BMI Healthcare, without written consent from patients and without a license to store body parts. The case has now been referred to the police by the Human Tissue Authority. The report said that nurses and doctors from Edgbaston Hospital were apparently aware of what was happening, and that some even helped him to put bones in special pots to be collected by McMinn's staff. One insider claimed McMinn's behaviour had been covered up because of the amount of money he generated for the hospital. In a second part to the story, Sean was passed another internal review commissioned into McMinn. This one found that he used to have two patients sedated at once so that he could swap between operating theatres, effectively carrying out two surgeries at the same time. This was described in the report as going against accepted best practice and putting income before patient safety. The stories, as well as being shocking in their own right, open up many questions about the regulation of private hospitals and a culture of secrecy that meant the full extent of McMinn's alleged actions were not reported to official watchdogs until The Independent started making inquiries. Former Health Secretary and current Chair of the Commons Health Select Committee, Jeremy Hunt, has called for an immediate inquiry to get to the bottom of the case. I should add that when we approached McMinn, he declined to comment for the stories. Sean, welcome to the podcast. You've obviously been incredibly busy over the last few days putting together this incredible series of stories. I've given a bit of a more lengthy introduction there than I would usually do because there's so much ground that you've reported. But I've only just given a brief taste of what we've reported. Could you just give us a bit more detail, starting with his actions in collecting these body parts, what he was doing and why?
Yeah, well, thanks, David. It's good to be back on the podcast. And yes, this is a very concerning story, I think. And we'll get on to later the sort of wider ramifications, perhaps. But in relation to what Derek McMinn was doing, it appears that the staff in the actual surgery theatres working alongside him were fully complicit in what was going on. They knew what he was doing and were part of it, as you've described. And this has actually only just come to light in the last sort of 12 months, really. So in March 2019, there was a routine audit carried out by pathology staff at the BMI Healthcare Edgbaston Hospital. And what this found was 20 pots of tissue and bones labelled with patient details that were in a storage area, and obviously led to some questions being asked. And this resulted in the executive director of the Edgbaston Hospital writing to Derek McMinn and effectively saying to him that, look, we don't have a license for the Human Tissue Authority to do this, so in future you need to take these pots away on the day of surgery instead of leaving them for several months. Now, that instantly should have raised alarm bells both for the hospital and for the managers there, because they were effectively allowing him to continue with something that they knew shouldn't be going on. And they only actually acted to stop this when the Care Quality Commission came in and inspected the hospital and had a look at the file on Derek McMinn, and they saw this letter from the executive director which exposed it, and that's what started a whole snowball effect of an investigation. So McMinn was suspended in August 2019 when he admitted to the hospital director that he'd been doing this for 25 years only with verbal consent and without a license. And as you said, this is now under investigation by the police, but the law is quite clear that if a doctor is going to retain tissue in this way, he must have consent for that, and especially consent from the living. And Mr. McMinn did not have any permission to do research. He had no license, etc. And we still really don't know the full extent of this collection. We know that he admitted keeping some of this at his home in the countryside in Worcestershire. But for what purpose, we still aren't really clear. He claims research, but until we actually get to the bottom of this, nobody actually knows. And he refused to cooperate with the hospital. So there are loads of questions still outstanding over the scale of the collection, which the investigation found could have numbered as high as 5,224 samples from patients, some of whom may have included children. He also took alongside these x-rays, patient notes, and other confidential documents that I was told effectively was akin to a police database of information. And so I believe, you know, we've been contacted by many patients. I've spoken to lots of them in the last few days, none of whom have said they recall any conversation about their body parts and bones being collected. Nor did they give consent. And the reaction of some of the patients varies, really. Some couldn't care less, but others are very angry and upset by what they see as a violation, really, of the doctor and surgeon against them.
So you mentioned the number there, more than 5,000. So it's it's an unusual thing to be for any surgeon to do, arguably, to take home a sample of bone that they've operated on. But in this case, the hospital's report says he's done it with more than 5,000 parts. He's got 5,000 separate bits of hip bone from different operations that he's done.
Yeah.
Which is an incredible scale. So it's not just kind of a one-off strange occurrence. This is a pattern of behaviour, obviously, over a long period of time.
I would describe it as it's industrial scale, really. I mean, these pots are, you know, would need to be stored, collected somewhere. You know, they will take up significant amount of space. This was intentional, deliberate, and thought through, would be my view.
So the hospital becomes aware that there's something up in March of last year when, as you say, this routine audit finds these 20 pots of bones. But it's not until October, so it takes some months for them to carry out their own review, which then concludes that actually, as you say, this is on a much, much wider scale. Why the delay in finding out what was happening?
Well, there was. It wasn't until August that he was suspended, and it wasn't until August that the hospital took action in saying to him, "You've got to stop." And as I said earlier, that only happened after the CQC raises the issue, and the investigation obviously takes a bit of time. And they started it and finished it in October, and I think it was at that point really that it dawned on the hospital the scale of this. I mean, that report makes clear that he did take body parts from patients not only at the Edgbaston Hospital but also at the nearby Little Aston Hospital that's run by Spire Healthcare, and also NHS patients would have been affected as well. He did do operations on NHS patients, and I think what the concerns are about this is that, you know, all of this went on. They discovered this in October, and then they didn't do anything with it. It seems that the CQC was kept in the dark about the full scale of this. They were under the impression this related to 20 pots. They had no idea this had been going on for so long, nor did the General Medical Council. And in fact, they only received the report from BMI Healthcare after the Independent had started asking questions. So I think that raises very serious questions for BMI Healthcare and its management and their openness and transparency. And of course, we should all keep in mind that the patients have also had absolutely no communication about this, despite the report recommending that the hospital consider contacting patients and alerting them to this. There has been none of that. And in fact, as awful as it is, many patients discovered this for the first time reading The Independent, which, you know, just cannot be acceptable.
So just for, obviously you're steeped in all of this stuff, but just for listeners, what do the CQC do, and what does the General Medical Council do, and why should they be involved at that much earlier stage? As you said, they didn't become involved until you started putting calls in about this story. It was only then that they were informed of the full extent of what happened. So what should have happened? What should they have been doing?
Well, clearly, I think the reason this matters is not only is it obviously a breach of consent and professional behaviour by Derek McMinn and those around him, it also raises questions around, well, if he's doing this without permission, what else is he doing without permission? What else is going on in that hospital, and what else is being covered up, etc.? So, you know, it's not just solely about the issue of the bones. It raises much wider questions. And the Care Quality Commission is responsible for regulating hospitals and making sure that they provide a safe, high quality care for patients. And, you know, there's suggestions emerging that there were some safety concerns about Mr. McMinn's surgical practice, and, you know, the CQC needs to be cited on all of these things. And the law states quite clearly around duty of candor, for example, that where there are issues relating to patient harm and incidents like this, they should be informed. And the CQC has recently prosecuted a hospital for not doing that after a mistake. So, you know, the regulator does have very strong powers, and to keep them in the dark suggests an attempt to avoid the kind of reputational damage and potential sort of scrutiny that this private hospital would have wanted to avoid. And we did learn through our investigation that Mr. McMinn was doing effectively almost half of all the hip surgery in this hospital for over a 3-year period before March 2019. So as our source told us in the story, he was the goose that laid the golden egg. He brought in a lot of income to the hospital. And sadly, we've seen in other examples in recent years where powerful consultants in the private sector aren't challenged by their hospitals and by the staff around them. And it creates an environment, I think, which leads to potential bad behaviour, and we've seen that before, and I believe that we are going to see this with Mr. McMinn in the fullness of time as things emerge.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And it's not only the CQC that wasn't informed by the hospital. The General Medical Council, which is the register of all doctors who are licensed to work in the UK, if I'm describing that in the right way. So they also weren't fully informed. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, so that they were. They told me that they had asked BMI Healthcare for the investigation reports this week. And obviously, bear in mind these reports were completed back in October, or certainly the main investigation report that we've seen. So it does beg the question: why wasn't this shared with the General Medical Council? The GMC have a very bizarre policy in that they don't like to confirm that they are investigating doctors, but we do know that they are investigating Derek Mittman, but he remains licensed to practice without any restrictions on his license. And the GMC do have the ability to put in place restrictions during, if they're concerned during an investigation. I think they're probably going to have to answer some questions about that in the coming days and weeks. But I think, again, if you've got a surgeon behaving like this, it raises questions about their professional conduct, and that needs to be communicated to the regulator as soon as possible. Not necessarily because this particular issue is a patient safety issue, but that it may lead into what else is he doing, what else is going on if he's prepared to do this. And you know, that's a question for the regulators to ask and answer. And without BMI Healthcare being transparent and open from the very beginning, that it delays the whole process. And you know, I would say this, wouldn't I, but I believe the reason I was contacted by staff at the company is because they were concerned this was being covered up and that it wasn't being revealed, and that the patients knew nothing about it. I mean, you know, to think there are thousands of patients from all over the world who don't know that their pieces of their bones are sitting on a shelf somewhere in Worcestershire is just not something that you know, should be hidden from people. And I don't think it would have come out without our whistleblower, and that just can't be a situation that anybody should be happy with.
The initial inquiry into the collection of the body parts should have raised other questions about his kind of clinical practice, or what other things he may have been doing, which is indeed what did happen, isn't it? Because this other report was then also commissioned into his surgical practice, which found that he would effectively operate on two patients at the same time, have two patients sedated in different operating theatres, and go from one to the other. Can you tell us a little bit more about that situation?
Yes, I mean, in fact, for me, I think as a health journalist, this is actually even more concerning, really, what we've uncovered in our second story on Derek Mittman. We published you know, straight after the first one, but it shows that in effect, he was engaged in dangerous surgical practices along with two anaesthetists who, you know, must have agreed to do this. And in fact, the report shows that what was happening was that they were beginning the sedation of patients and putting them under anaesthetic a long time before their surgery was due to start. In some cases, they were anaesthetizing patients before Mr. McMillan had even started operating on another patient before them. So, and this may sound, you know, people may mistakenly think, well, it's just being put to sleep, there's no real danger. And actually, that's not the case. Anaesthetic does come with lots of dangers and risks. And this report reveals that the anaesthetists were sedating the patients to such a degree that their blood pressure fell to dangerous levels, and in effect meant that their organs in their body weren't getting enough blood and enough oxygenated blood, including their brains. And the report that was completed in November last year by an expert not associated with what was going on said that BMI Healthcare should consider reviewing all of these patients, all of Mr. McMinn's patients, for signs of organ damage and brain injury, which, you know, is extremely worrying. And I've spoken to lots of other anaesthetic consultants and experts who say that this practice was, you know, completely out of step with evidence and dangerous, and is just not acceptable at all. And the report makes it quite clear that the three doctors acted in a way which was intentional. And actually, I think the report says that they put income before patient safety. And the expert concluded that this was, you know, these cases were a serious concern, and they should have all been referred to the General Medical Council for investigation. And in some cases, you know, patients were, I think the report describes them being abandoned for an hour and 26 minutes. And Mr. McMillan would begin surgery on one patient, finish sort of half of the operation. They would then be wheeled into the anaesthetic room and kept asleep. And asleep is really the wrong phrase. Really, they're kept sedated, and he would then go off and start a surgery on another patient before returning to the first patient. It's just a completely unacceptable way to carry out surgery. And I believe it. You know, we don't know how many patients may have suffered any harm as a result of this. As what we know is that this report, again, like the first one, wasn't shared with the Care Quality Commission until after we started making inquiries. They are only just now beginning to review this. But this second report again recommended that patients be contacted, that their review be carried out to see if any of them have come to harm. Well, this was 10 months ago, and BMI Healthcare have still not done that. They told us that they were going to carry out a wider review of patients, but obviously until that's happened, we don't actually know the extent. So I actually think this is quite worrying, and we don't yet know if we're into the scary territory of a private practice surgeon who may have harmed lots of patients. I mean, that's pure speculation, but that has to be a real risk until those patients are reviewed. And you know, for this to be exposed in this way and leaked, it's just not the way the system should work, really. And I think it gives everybody a pause for concern when the NHS is about to spend £10 billion outsourcing more NHS surgery to the private sector, where, you know, it has to be said, the governance and the regulation and management of doctors is less than it is in the NHS.
Well, let's come on to those wider issues, because obviously individually this is concerning: the hoarding of the body parts, the surgical practice that is alleged to have put income above patient safety. All very concerning about this one individual surgeon, but as you say there, it kind of highlights a bigger issue and bigger concerns about the regulation of private hospitals. So how concerned should we be about that? Does it raise questions that we should be answering about private healthcare more generally?
I think it definitely does. And listeners may remember the scandal of Ian Paterson, who is a breast surgeon who carried out unnecessary surgery on more than a thousand women, actually not too far away from Edgbaston Hospital at the Spire Healthcare Hospital in the West Midlands. Now, he was jailed for 20 years over this, and an inquiry into that scandal made recommendations in February this year, setting out quite clearly there are very real safety risks in private sector hospitals, and largely that results around the way that doctors are monitored and governed effectively. And it's a little known fact that most doctors in the private sector have what's known as practicing privileges, and this effectively means that they're not employees of the hospital, but they come in and effectively use the hospital's sort of facilities for their private practice, which obviously brings in huge amounts of income, and then off they go again, and they're sort of almost self-employed practitioners, really, operating within the building. So that comes with very little sort of management and oversight, and there are huge weaknesses in that system, and the government have delayed their response to that inquiry. And I think where I would bring Derek McMinn into this, and you know, I want to be clear, there's no suggestion that he has harmed patients to the degree of Ian Paterson at all. But that's not really the point. The issue, I think, is that if a surgeon like Derek McMinn, who was, you know, treated like a god in the hospital and able to kind of run his own show, can behave in this way, in an unsafe way in terms of the anaesthesia and collecting body parts and for years, and no one challenges that, no one speaks up about that, that suggests to me that if there was an Ian Paterson in that hospital alongside Derek McMinn, who was harming patients and disfiguring them or doing all sorts of awful things, if Derek McMinn was able to avoid scrutiny, then so would an Ian Paterson. And we have to be getting better at stopping those kinds of situations. We know that they have occurred in the past, and we must avoid them in the future. And of course, there are tens of thousands of NHS patients about to be funneled into the private sector system. They will be going into these hospitals assuming wrongly that they will be getting the same sort of regulated, governed system and safety that they get in the NHS. Now, anyone who follows my work at The Independent will know that I'm not for a moment going to suggest the NHS is as safe as it could be or is as perfect as it could be. It has its problems too. But there is no doubt that patients from the NHS going into private hospitals will not be fully aware of the sort of freedoms that some of the doctors have there. And I think until the government closes some of these loopholes and can provide reassurance to the public, we should all pause for thought, really, on scandals like this from Derek McMinn when they emerge, because I think they're a warning sign of other things that we all hope don't happen but have in the past.
Well, thank you, Sean. That is an incredible story. I would encourage everyone to read the full versions on the Independent's website. And I know that you're going to be continuing to look at this particular case and the kind of wider issues that it raises over the coming weeks. Just to reiterate, when we approached Mr. McMinn, he declined to comment. Circle Health Group, which took over BMI Healthcare in June this year, told us that the hospital leadership has changed since the investigation, and delays in passing on the internal report were so that a complex and an extensive series of further investigations could take place. A spokesperson said the group would like to apologise for this surgeon's completely unacceptable and distressing actions in previous years, adding, "We will leave no stone unturned in investigating these historic issues. They have all been reported to the appropriate authorities, and we will cooperate closely with regulators to resolve them." Just to bring you up to date with what the situation is at the hospital now. Thank you again, Sean. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed it, then please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen. If you have suggestions for things you'd like us to discuss, do please get in touch at behindtheheadlines@independent.co.uk. You can read more from Sean and from all of our correspondents on our website, independent.co.uk, and in our downloadable daily edition app. If you would like to support our journalism by contributing or subscribing, details are available on the website. Thank you so much again for listening, and please join us again next time.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.